From Station WIS in Columbia, South Carolina, the National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 61, Deception, as written and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Phil Agresta, and welcome everyone to Radio City Playhouse. Our show today is coming to you from the magnificent new studios of Station WIS in Columbia, South Carolina. The building was formally opened last night with an impressive inaugural broadcast, and our program this afternoon is the first network origination from WIS in its impressive new home. We're very happy to be here, and we wish WIS continued success and prosperity. With the exception of Miss Jan Miner, who came with us from New York and who is, of course, a favorite with Radio City Playhouse listeners, our entire cast is composed of Columbia, South Carolina talent. Dr. Shield and our orchestra are in New York. Here, then, is our show. Jan Miner as Mary Harrison in Deception, Attraction 61 on Radio City Playhouse.
Hello.
Is Mrs. Harrison there, please?
This is she speaking.
Mary, it's Sarah.
Sarah?
Sarah Rosenberg, all the way from South Dakota.
Oh, Sarah, for heaven's sake, what are you doing in town? Where are you staying? When did you get in?
I'm down at the station. I'm not staying anywhere. I just got in this morning.
Well, how long are you going to be here?
I'm going back tonight. As a matter of fact, I came especially to see you.
To see me? Well, Sarah, come up. Come up right away. You know where we live.
I've got your address. I'll be up in 15 minutes.
Well, wonderful. Have you had breakfast?
No.
Then don't. We'll have something here. Reston's just leaving for the office, and we can sit all morning over coffee.
I'll be up in 20 minutes.
Wonderful. See you then, Sarah. Goodbye.
Who was that on the telephone, darling?
Oh, girl I knew a long time ago. Heavens, it must be 17 years since I've seen her.
From Chicago?
Yes. From Chicago. I just can't believe they'd rake it all up after 17 years.
Well, all I know is that this reporter turned up in Pier and started asking questions about Mary Regulix. I found out he made photostatic copies of the Pier papers from February 13th, 1932 to February the 24th.
I see.
We read, of course, that Reston was running for senator. Arthur said they were going to use you as some sort of smear campaign. I don't know. I just wanted suddenly to see you, to tell you myself, just because, I wanted to repay you if I could.
Sarah, darling, you don't owe me anything.
I owe you everything. You're the finest woman I've ever known.
Sarah.
Well, it's true, Mary.
Sarah, what was his name?
Who?
The reporter from here.
Oh, Evans. We couldn't find out which paper, but I think he's after you, Mary. I think he's after you.
And I had a lot of trouble finding you, Mr. Evans. I phoned every newspaper in the city.
That's too bad.
Well, are you going to run the story or not?
I don't know. We might. It depends on Mr. Wardlaw, our managing editor.
Why do you have to rake up something that's old and finished and ended? Do you want to deliberately ruin us? Ruin him? Ruin both of us?
Mrs. Harrison, doesn't your husband know what you did?
No. No, he doesn't.
Why didn't you tell him?
Because being Mrs. Reston Harrison, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't tell it.
Mrs. Harrison, you're going to be in a mighty rough spot come election day next Thursday.
fix my tie, will you, darling?
Of course.
You know, I look pretty slick in evening clothes, don't you think?
Preston? Preston,
Mary, what is it? Are you sick?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Mary.
I'm so sick I could die.
You want to stay home? Shall I phone Judge McLennan?
Preston, do you love me? Really, deeply love me?
Why, Mary, what brought this on?
Do you?
Well, of course I love you. I should think you'd know that. I should think everything I've ever said or done would make you know I love you.
Preston, will you just keep very quiet and let me tell you something? Will you please just sit down and not say anything? If you interrupt me, I'll cry. And I don't want to cry.
Mary, you're shaking. What's the matter? What is it?
No, please. Keep quiet. When I was 17, I...
Darling, what are you trying to say to me?
When I was 17, I...
Mary, you don't have to be afraid to tell me anything. What is it? I've never seen you like this before.
When I was 17, I killed my father with an axe.
You're not serious.
Yes, I'm serious. Do I look like I was joking? Now, please.
Mary,
don't interrupt me, Reston. Just let me tell it. I wasn't born in Chicago. I was born in Pierre, South Dakota. We were poor, so poor. Well, my father had a farm that he never worked much. Instead, he fixed things, tractors, machinery, threshers. He never made much money. And the little bit he did make went on liquor. My mother used to go out cleaning by the day. My father drank. He didn't drink the way some people do. He never got roaring, wild drunk. He'd take 10 or 12 drinks a day and always be a little bit under. He was big and mean and cruel. I was so afraid of him, I used to get sick at my stomach when I'd see him coming home. And one night, he went at my mother, and when she tried to get away from him, he hit her with a poker. I screamed, and he turned on me, and I backed away from him, and he shoved me up against the stove. It was a wood stove, and it burned me, and there was an axe in the kindling box, and I hit him with it. He fell. His head was almost...
Mary, you don't have to put yourself...
Let me finish, please. It was a trial, of course. And during the trial, my mother died from the beating he'd given her with a poker. The jury found me not guilty. I can remember the words the judge said. He turned to the jury and told them that if they decided I had used only reasonable force to prevent my father inflicting grievous bodily injury on myself and my mother, their verdict must be not guilty. Reasonable force, he said. I practically cut his neck right through.
Oh, darling.
There's more yet, please. I was acquitted, and I went to Chicago. I sold the farm and scraped together a few dollars and went to Chicago. Preston, I was only 17. Anyway, this morning, Sarah Rosenberg came all the way from Pierre, South Dakota, to tell me that a reporter named Evans from the Courier...
No.
Yes, he was out there and he photostated the papers. After I was arrested, there were photographs. Terrible, dreadful photographs of a young girl crying with rage and hate and with her clothes torn and an axe in her hand.
Darling, why didn't you tell me?
Because I loved you so much. Well, when I met you in Chicago, Reston, I was 27. You were an up-and-coming young lawyer, and Mary Regelex was gone. I'd changed my name, and the girl that lived on a run-down farm in South Dakota had ceased to exist. I almost had myself convinced that it never happened. And I didn't tell you because I was afraid. Afraid that your mother...
Darling, and you, I wouldn't have cared.
I went to see this reporter this afternoon, Reston. They're publishing the story.
If they do, this just doesn't happen to people like us, Mary. It can't happen.
He said they weren't interested in you politically, but that it was a good story, and that's the kind they print.
It means I'm finished.
Maybe it won't matter. Nobody ever won an election by being dirty and cheap and peddling a scandal that's over and done with.
Darling, I'll eat it up.
Well, you're not going to quit, are you? Well, you can't quit, Reston. They can't beat you with a smear campaign.
I'm finished, Mary. I couldn't put Jock and Judge McLean through a thing like this. I couldn't.
But it wasn't wrong. I was acquitted. I was innocent. The jury even said I'd been brave.
It couldn't have been worse if you'd been found guilty.
But why? And the people won't let a thing like this interfere.
Being a United States senator is a serious thing. I'm afraid I just couldn't go on. I'll just withdraw my name and not say what.
I won't let you. I just won't let you throw everything over.
It doesn't matter. I just wanted it so badly. That's all.
Then fight, Reston. Don't give up. Fight it. We'll go to Judge McLean's tonight.
No. No, I think we'd better stay home.
We won't stay home. We'll go. And we'll say nothing. Not a thing. We'll think of something to do, Reston. We can fight this thing together.
No, Mary.
You won't quit. I won't let you quit. We're going to Judge McLean's for dinner. And we'll pretend nothing has happened.
Thought we'd never get home. Never.
You get ready for bed, dear. I'll bring you some hot milk.
I told Judge McLean.
Oh, no. Reston, you didn't. Now, you promised that you wouldn't.
He'd heard rumors. This sort of thing travels like wildfire.
Oh, no.
He asked me point blank. He said he'd heard rumors of some sort of scandal about you. And I told him everything.
Oh, why? Why, Reston?
Somebody'd hinted at it.
Who?
He wouldn't say who. I said I'd withdraw my name. He's not going to tell them the real reason, just in case the courier doesn't publish.
But he's got to tell them something.
He'll simply say, I don't care to run. Nobody will believe it. But it'll save our faces.
Oh, Reston, I'm so terribly, terribly sorry. You wanted this so much, didn't you?
There's nothing very much either of us can do about it.
Oh, if you don't need, lose your temper or...
Stop that right now. No question of guilt about this, Mary. You and I know the truth. We know what happened. Let them say what they like.
But you wanted it so much.
I wanted other things and not gotten them.
Well, let's go to bed, dear. There's no use torturing ourselves.
I think I'll sit up a while. I'll go in the library. I don't feel much like sleeping.
Good morning, Mary.
Oh, Judge McLean, come in.
Thank you. Is Reston up yet?
He didn't go to bed. He sat in the library all night. Oh, Judge, this is killing him. It's killing him, and he doesn't say anything. He just sat there all night.
Mary, never... Mary, hang on to yourself. No use you getting upset, too.
He counted on it. He wanted it so terribly, Judge. He's in here. Reston, here's Judge McLean.
What's this I hear about you sitting up all night?
It isn't every night one loses a senatorship, is it?
It isn't lost yet.
What do you mean?
What I say, it isn't lost yet.
Sit down, Judge McLean. Would you like some coffee?
No, thanks,
Judge,
Mary.
You don't have to be optimistic to me. I know when things
are... Supposing you let me do the talking. Now, after you left our place last night, I called a special meeting of the Committee on Vacancies. I told them the truth. They refused to accept your withdrawal.
They've got to accept it.
I told them that. So they did accept it, and then redesignated you as your own successor. There were some pretty fine things said about you last night, Reston. Some pretty fine things.
I knew it. Nobody ever won an election yet by mudslinging and scandal.
I haven't a chance. Not a chance.
No other man can do the job you can.
But I'd never be elected. Never.
Reston, don't give up. Good night, man. You've got to fight.
You can't fight scandal if it's true. You know that. You've been in politics yourself.
Reston, listen. There's a big rally at the Coliseum tomorrow night. Now, if we could get the courier to promise that they wouldn't publish...
That's ridiculous. Why wouldn't they publish?
Because they've nothing against you politically. And because Carl Wardlaw's their managing editor. He's also the owner. You know how obligated he is to us.
He's not very active in the Courier anymore. This managing editor stuff is mostly title.
Listen, Reston. If the Courier doesn't publish, you'll be elected. It'll be a landslide. Now, look. If they insist on publishing, Mary will stand up there tomorrow night and tell that crowd in her own way just what happened. After all, man, she was acquitted.
She couldn't. She simply couldn't.
Mary, what about it?
Anything. Absolutely anything.
Mary, they'll heckle you. They'll boo and shout at you. You're not used to speaking in public. They'd crucify you.
Reston, it's our only chance.
Judge,
of course it's our only chance, Reston. You've got to let me, please, dear.
How do you get to Wardlaw?
Well, unfortunately, he's out of town on a hunting trip in Canada. Impossible to reach him. But he's flying back tomorrow. Now, the butler said he'd be home by 9. Lives up in Connecticut. You go up there and see him yourself. Tell him the story. Try to get his word he won't let this thing be published.
But the rally starts at 8:30.
It's running it a bit close, but you'll just have to take that risk. Mary will come with me. Now, he may be home earlier than 9. You get up to his house by 8. You may be back in time to appear at the rally yourself. If not, you can telephone us.
Judge, do you really think there's a chance?
If Wardlaw agrees not to publish, you keep quiet. If he says he is going to publish, you talk. It's as simple as that.
It's nearly 10 o'clock. Where can Reston be? Why hasn't he telephoned?
I don't know. I just can't imagine what's keeping him.
Well, did you telephone Wardlaw's house?
The butler said Wardlaw and Reston left together around 8:30. Oh. They should have been here by 9:15. 9:30 at the latest.
But couldn't he have telephoned?
Oh, maybe he figured he'd be here.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, if you tell the story and the courier doesn't publish, we've let the cat out of the bag for no good reason.
Oh, no.
On the other hand, if the courier does publish and you don't get out on that stage and tell your side of it first, we're sunk. I don't know. I just don't know what to do. We may as well wait 10 more minutes and then go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the Committee on Vacancies decided to ignore this tragic story of a young girl's misery. I have told the story badly, but I have given you the essential facts. After he withdrew his name last night, we redesignated him for senator on the unified government ticket. We need men like Reston Harrison, and we need men with wives like Mrs. Reston Harrison.
Tell them, Mary. Just tell them the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful for the opportunity to... I've tried so hard to forget this story myself that it's difficult to speak of it without emotion. Now it is to be a news item in the Courier tomorrow night. And the actions of a terrified young girl are once again to be held up for public ridicule and scandal. I know that as human beings, you're too mature, too kind, too fair, and too honest to allow this story to influence your judgment of my husband's qualifications. There's nothing about him that isn't good or kind. There's nothing that... Well, do I look like a murderess? It's true, I did kill my father. But he killed my mother, and in defending her and myself, I killed him. But I was acquitted. Does this ghastly story of 17 years ago have anything to do with my husband's career today? Please, I beg of you to think for a moment of the golden rule and perhaps to transpose it slightly. I ask you to think of it not so much as do unto others as you would have others do unto you, but rather to think of it as understand others as you would have others understand you, understand their grief, their humiliation, their self-respect, as you would have them understand your grief, your humiliation, your self-respect.
Robert Frost wrote, "If one by one we counted people out for the least sin, it wouldn't take us long to get so we had no one left to live with." Thank you for listening to me. We've been worried sick. I've been sitting here since 11 o'clock. Well, finally, we had to go ahead. I made my speech. Preston, what happened to you? Couldn't your phone do something?
We ran out of gas.
What?
Wardlaw said he'd drive me in. Right smack in the middle of nowhere, we ran out of gas.
Oh, no.
We'd have been there at 9:30. But I've walked 11 miles.
Oh, darling.
No cars, no telephones, no houses, no nothing. 11 miles before I got a ride into town.
Oh, Reston. Reston, what did he say?
I hear you made a wonderful speech, darling.
Reston, did Wardlaw agree that... Oh, no. No.
Yes. Wardlaw agreed not to publish the story.
Oh.
It'll be in every paper now. But I hear it was a wonderful speech. Mary, the returns will be starting to come in now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going down to campaign headquarters.
Reston, do you mind if I don't come, please? I just can't stand anymore.
I know. I know just how you feel. I can't stand much more myself.
You win, darling. I know you'll win. Let me stay home here. I'll listen to the radio. All the stations will be carrying the election.
Whatever you like.
And Reston, you won't take it too badly if you lose. Will you?
No.
Promise?
I can't help it, Mary. But I'll do the best I can. I may be very late. Especially if I happen to win.
I'll wait up for you. And Reston.
Yes?
Don't take it too badly.
Precincts heard from out of 3,071. Latest count in the senatorial race is as follows. Joel Williams, 1,364,000. I'm rounding these figures. Reston Harrison, just 2,000 votes behind, with 1,362,000. Williams, just 2,000 votes ahead. We'll bring you more election returns as they become available. Now we return you to our studio.
Our Father which art in heaven, let him win. Please, God, let him win. He wants it so terribly. If it's right for him, let him win. He wants it so much. Please, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dear, I thought you were never coming home.
I lost.
Turn the lights on, darling. I had them out just to rest my eyes.
I lost.
Reston, has it been that bad? Oh, Reston, you look so sick. Darling, it was only by 1,000 votes. Less than that, really. Just 1,000 votes. And don't you see, Reston, they didn't care about me. They did want you. They wanted you badly enough that they just...
I lost.
Well, there'll be other elections, dear. Now, please, don't take it this badly. Oh, my darling. I love you. We've still got each other. Reston, please. Darling, you mustn't cry. It just tortures me to see you look like this.
Mary, I want to be by myself for a bit.
Darling.
I'm all right.
Yes,
really, I am. You go to bed.
Yes, dear.
I'm going into the library. I just feel like being alone for a while.
Yes, dear.
I'll be all right.
Hello?
Mary, it's Judge McLean. Is Reston there?
Judge, he's terribly upset. Can I give him a message?
The last count has him winning by 134 votes.
What?
We thought the 63rd precinct would be solid against him. It wasn't. He's won, Mary, by 134 votes.
Judge, just a minute. Reston! Reston! Come here, quick! Oh, Reston! Reston, no! You couldn't! No! Reston!
You have just heard Deception, Attraction 61 on Radio City Playhouse, starring Jan Minor as Mary Harrison. And coming to you from the new studios of Station WIS in Columbia, South Carolina. Other players in the cast, all of whom were recruited from Columbia, South Carolina talent, were Mackie Quave as Reston Harrison, and Josephine Brown, Tom Linton, Roy Lind, and Sam Zurich. The special music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Deception was written, directed, and produced for the National Broadcasting Company by Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Our sincere thanks to everyone at Station WIS for their wonderful cooperation, and a sincere invitation to all of you to join us next week on Radio City Playhouse for an exciting story called Interval by Robert Essen. That's next week on Radio City Playhouse. Be sure to listen to Hollywood Calling tonight with Maureen O'Hara and Dan Daly. Good afternoon, everybody.
Billy Grester speaking. Stay tuned now for James Melton and the Harvest of Stars on NBC.